SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Pimlico Racecourse, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com, always great to be back in Balmer and at Old Hilltop. You know my feelings about coming here. It's one of the great weeks of any. Just love the town, love this creaking old facility, and as speculated for several weeks, the elevator is not working, and there's a chance this elevator never works again. They say literally the oldest operating human elevator. I'm sure there's those freight elevators. I'm sure there's some of those that are older than this one, but for human use, they couldn't. There apparently is one repairman. This is like the Maytag repairman. They cannot find the guy who keeps that elevator running. So it may be over for the. For the famed elevator. It's not a big deal, actually. It's a lot less involved than you'd think. There's two sets of escalators, and then just one small stairwell to negotiate. It's not a big deal. What we are also clearly negotiating is the field. And before we talk about anything that happened over the weekend racing-wise, let's bring you up to date. You know probably by now, confidence game, something amiss, and Keith DeSormo not happy. So they're going to actually have Dr. Bramlage go over him, give him a little diagnostic. He said something a little, just enough, you know, to pull up and take a wait and see. And, you know, make sure if there's something bothering him, they can figure it out. So confidence game comes out, and one horse jumped in, and that is Coffee with Chris, John Salzman. And why not? As he said, as he explained, don't have that many opportunities to run in spots like this. So why not? Why not give him a chance? You know, at one of those brass ring type opportunities. And, you know, historically there's at least one Mid-Atlantic horse that we can reference that did this successfully. BBB. If you think about it, I've told you that story many times, Del Carroll. And, you know, they knew it was going to come up wet. And he loved it wet, and he had just run. And they checked with Mr. Farish, said, you know, he's doing great. He's going to get the kind of sloppy Pimlico Oval that he likes. And they threw him in, and he upset Riva Ridge, so who did not like it wet. So there's precedent. For this. And now I mean, obviously there's been other, you know, Mid-Atlantic, you know, local horses that have succeeded. And as the week unfolds, we'll certainly, you know what I'm going to do. I've been put out my, I love being in this office for years and years, and I've got all the great old Jerry Fruitcoff photos at our disposal. And so we'll start to feather those out and try to enhance the run-up to this Preakness. They drew I'll get back to the rest of this field in a second. They're waiting. We are waiting for a call from decision, essentially. And, of course, the draw will be 5:30 today. And waiting for specifics on the Asmussen barn. Are they running both Disarm and Red Root 1 or just Red Root 1? Apparently Disarm working this morning, and entry-wise, we should know. Dave Grenick is alone in the press box up here, and Dave monitoring that. He got here, he wanted to be here for the first appearance of Mage on the racetrack, and I just put up a little clip. I actually went out on the balcony, and he had just gone by, actually, and was moving toward the backside. And Dave, I think, has got some video that he'll put up. I put up he was just finishing. He only, you know, had one, and even then, it was a light gallop. His first morning, he arrived, I guess, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So Mage will probably pick it up a little bit as the week unfolds, as he looks to, you know, take this next step. And what can you say really right now about, you know, about the lineup? You know, there's a horse like First Mission, you know, jumping in here trying to do a Bernardini, and that's pretty much what that's in a lot of ways, that's, I think, what that storyline, his fourth start, like Mage's fourth came in the Derby. So, First Mission and National Treasure, you know, seemingly the, you know, the most obvious pursuers and threats to the Derby winner. And, of course, you know, Shug told you last week and fleshed out that Perform, the Good Magic, was going to run. So, you know, there's undoubtedly a shortage of speed, and that's what particularly intrigues about what First Mission, his potential here, because there's just not anybody all that, you know, all that interested. I will admit to reaching out yesterday on my drive 10 hours from Nashville here, and that, and you know, for a 10-hour drive, it actually was very painless. I'm going to certainly tell you plenty about the wonderful time we had in Nashville, and, you know, and the race, where in fact Snap Decision was upset, and by the, again, by the, in terms of obvious candidates, the Willie Mullins invader, Scaramanga, was very good and kind of bided his time and pounced after the last jump and collared Snap Decision. So his try at three straight, I shouldn't say went awry, but it was dashed. We're trying to reach out to see if we can get Willie Mullins. It'd be a lot of fun to have Willie Mullins talk about it. The owner certainly was absolutely thrilled. That part, it was kind of fun. The owner was on hand, and one of the assistants for Willie Mullins, and Malcolm Denmark. So both Ireland and Denmark were represented. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. The rest of this group, and I'm just sharing something with Dave Grenning. There we go. The rest of the group, for those that haven't really kept close tabs. Mage, National Treasure, first mission, blazing sevens for Chad, who's made a habit of annexing these. Red Root 1, and we understand that Joel Rosario is going to return to Red Root 1. Chase the Chaos is going to come, and that surprised me a little bit. Ed Mosier, they got, you know, it's a win and you're in that they were able to capture in the El Camino Real, and they're going to make the trip. So chase the chaos and perform. So there it is. And I think we're getting a confirmation that the Asmussen camp is only bringing Red Root 1. All right. So there's and coffee. Coffee with Chris. I started to say during the reason I started to talk about the, I'm trying to do, apologies if I seem disjointed. I literally am doing four things at once. George Weaver was going to join us at 9:20, and George, he's asking to be moved to a later time slot, so that's fine. We will talk to George, because how about George? It's almost a good thing. Sometimes this works out perfectly. I reached out to George last week because of Pass the Champagne's win, and then he, and in fact, as I was driving yesterday, he said, "I just saw this." He said, "I'm sorry," and I said, "No problem." Because it turned out to be kind of opportune. George swept those Royal Palm inaugural juvenile stakes down at Gulfstream. Yeah, you know, pretty nice. Crimson Advocate and No Name Mets. We got to talk about those with George when he joins us. I'm not sure now when he's going to join us. And Mark Cassie also pushing into tomorrow. Cassie, another candidate from last week because of the terrific win that he and DJ authored with Web Slinger, and you know, just there was, you know, the week, it was a pretty full week last week, 3 days at the Downs and then off to Nashville. But Mark came back this weekend. Our flash drive for Mrs. Weber, who she just loves that surface. So, the 5-year-old mare, who, you know, clearly, what is she up to? Let's see. Woodbine, she's now 4 for 5 and a second. This is her bailiwick. Went off at 70 cents on the dollar. She is tough. It's her 6th win. And I suppose the campaign will look a lot like last year's. She won't be eligible for the De La Rose, which she won at Saratoga last summer, because, of course, that's a, you know, non-winners of a sweepstake over a calendar period. But since then, you know, she was 5th in the Boston spot, but a good second in the Matron, in the Ontario Matron, and then she won the Bessarabian to end her campaign last year as a 4-year-old. Opens her 5-year-old season winning the Whimsical. And since we went in this direction, the Cassie Barn actually a nice 2nd and 4th, but on Sunday in the Jacques Cartier, but it was Anarchist for Josie Carroll and Ilium that won yesterday's stake. But Ice Chocolat for Gary Barber and Partners was a good second in here. This is a 5-year-old now, and you know, it did not run terribly at Keeneland he kind of looks worse than it was. He came out of that very heady allowance that Front Run the Fed won at a price with Mark of the Z, who we needed. Ice Chocolat ran well here. Got beat 3/4 at 10-1. And Martin Drexler sent out Old Chestnut to be third. So the season at Woodbine starting to get going, and we'll start to dig in with Woodbine. So that Mark Cassie tomorrow is that's the send up from that conversation. I started to also say that they drew the Friday card when I referenced the draw this afternoon, and it's at a brewery or distillery. Dave Joseph told me about it a few weeks ago. They were excited about it. It sounds fun. The Black Eyed Susan and the Pimlico Special. Black Eyed Susan drew a dozen, including a couple of types that you might have seen in the Oaks 2 weeks ago. Hoosier Philly is going to return here. And Merlazza as well. The horse to beat is certainly Faiza, Baffert, and Flavian Pratt. Taxed, another that was intended for the Oaks and could not get a scratch to get in. This is the Randy Morse filly that looked so good leading up toward Oaks. And I should really check in how it's gone for her subsequently last week. I'm sure she had to come back out and tune up a little bit more. So we'll check in on that. George Weaver, who we're going to talk to in a little bit at some point this morning, has got Sacred Wish in here. Maker, who we'll talk about as well in a little bit, because Red Knight gets that grade one. Another New York bred winning grade one. Nick was all over Red Knight. The rest of this field, Pletcher sending a pair, Frosty O'Toole and Miracle. Brad Cox, in addition to Merlazza, has got Comparative in here. Rob Atrus tries Balpool. Brittany Russell, Local Hope, Cats in the Timber. Maker's also sending Towhead on the outside. So two from Maker, two from Pletcher, two from Cox. And then a little Weaver, Amos, Atrus, Baffert, Morse, Russell. A nice field for the Black Eyed Susan. The Pimlico Special, run, of course, at the... That was a clever move, actually, when they adjusted the Pimlico Special distance to the mile and 3/16. That was very clever. Field of Eight, and it's kind of an eclectic bunch, actually. Kuchar for Pletcher and Rattle and Roll, McPeak. Clapton from Alvarado. Damon De Ludovico sends Armando R. Rob Atrus invades with Law Professor. Cook Creek for Jerry O'Dwyer. Speed Bias for Moquette. And Keystone Field for Maker. So, gonna have to get Maker on, I think, and congratulate him on the grade one. The Hilltop, part of this sequence. There's an all-stakes pick five, which is the very one. 11-horse field, the Miss Preakness, Key of Life, the focus there, certainly. 7-horse field there goes as the 10th. The 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. The Hilltop is the 11th, and then the Pimlico Special and the Black Eyed Susan. And actually, there's also the Allaire DuPont early in the card. But the rest of the card is really good. There's an allowance that starts things off, a mile and an eighth turf allowance. And in fact, Gustavo Delgado, who said he was going to bring some other horses, Oh Captain, going to be involved here on Friday. So keep the barn occupied. Let them, take the yayas out a little bit. So they'll run one on Friday. But then there's a sprint allowance on the dirt, turf sprint, maiden race, big field, then the Allaire DuPont, another turf sprint, second level allowance, full field. Really good. Card is very attractive, even without the stakes action. Should be a very fun day Friday. All right, so there's a little glance ahead. I surprised myself, actually. I went to go, just figured, let me get the stakes printed out this morning. I didn't expect to end up printing the whole card, but I did. So that's a little bit of a hint that you're going to want to probably print the whole card, because I think it's going to be worth doing. Well, without George coming in here right now, and I'm going to wait for Dave Grenning to let me know his plan. Because he was going to work on the morning conversation. So let me tell you about Saturday, and the weather got more rain, and it went more rain than expected, and but it stopped just in time, really, on Saturday. We got there very early, which actually was a lot of fun. We're kind of warned, don't dawdle, get there. Otherwise you're going to end up in a tangled traffic mess getting to, Percy Warner Park. So we went early with all the officials, with Bill Gallo and Woodbury and Larry Curtis and the whole Jack Crawford, everybody that was, we kind of hung out with, the 2 days leading up. And it's everything that as advertised, essentially. It just and it's big. I mean, it wasn't a great opportunity to kind of walk around and see all different parts of the layout, because it was muddy Tina was funny. She refuses to wear those, she's got those fun boots, but she's not going to put them on, at the bottom of that dress that she wore. So she, the tromping around was kept to a minimum. But it's a amazing natural amphitheater, essentially, that hill. I put up a couple of pictures and video. Quite remarkable, actually, the boxes, quote unquote. There's literally boxes that were made when the park was built by the WPA. All the stonework and it's pretty amazing. And it's like steps, STEPPES steps. And so there's that. At the finish line, the stretch, the home stretch, there's this whole set of boxes where people are, and then lining the course, there's tents and tailgate spaces, the same way we see it at so many other of the hunt meets. And it's everything that you look forward to at these steeplechase gatherings, and I cannot recommend it highly enough to everybody that has never experienced it. And if you think, well, it's not my kind of thing, if you like racing, it's your kind of thing. It's slightly different. Yeah, it is. But it's wildly entertaining and fun. So no matter how you take it in. So, put it on the list, and As Patrick Lewis said yesterday, he sent me a note. He said, "You're going to have to make this your, you know, an annual." And I don't see how I wouldn't. I mean, and Clancy was right, and we'll talk about in a second about Sean getting a win for River D, and his horses ran pretty well. He was a little worried about, you know, the going, but overall it was a pretty successful day for, you know, for Sean. And the wins were spread out, which is nice. It's always great when, you know, when everybody gets to share in the success. In fact, here, let me pull that out, and we'll tell you some specifics. It was a nice day for Arch Kingsley. Arch and a couple of different winners of the maiden races, and nice to break your maiden at this event. $30,000 purses, and this was the maiden pair that was essentially a race that was split. They had like 16 interested. They ended up sending 7 and 6 ultimately. L'Imperator wins for Hudson River Farms, and that was an unbelievably exciting race because L'Imperator and Carrie Breon's Georgie Dreamer, who was a first-time starter, an Irish-bred four-year-old, they came the length of the stretch and just were trading head bobs. It was really good. And L'Imperator able to literally, I mean, a very nice job by the rider. And I'm going to draw a blank. I got to look it up. I got to see which one, because, you know, there was also, we had those changes with Graham Waters, who's going to be sidelined, and had calls, you know, throughout the card. It wasn't Sean McDermott. It was Stephen McQueen. Steve McQueen, not Steve McQueen, Mulqueen. And they call it a chart margin of nose. It was tighter than that. Good job by Arch. This is a horse that is third off the layoff. And you might remember L'Imperator from his time with Jet. Now 6. And breaks his jump maiden in his third try. And then Arch came right back for Mrs. Thayer, Stella Thayer. Of course, owns Tampa Bay Downs, and Stella and partner Richard Colton with Barbados. And pretty nice for Arch to win a pair. Barbados, second in North America, just missed at Charlotte. And also McQueen. So 2 wins from McQueen and Arch Kingsley. The opener, which was a handicap, Jimmy P., and I actually, it was funny, I was talking to Andy Serling afterward Saturday evening. And the first race, Matticat, for those of you who watch the feed, you might have seen the Matticat Silks. And partners Paul and Molly Willis with Jimmy P. And this is a horse that Sol bred, one of the Slumber progeny. And Jimmy P was a romping winner, and I said to Andy, I said I had to come all the way to Nashville to see Sol win a race. It made me laugh. Jimmy P, very, very nice performance in that handicap. And this was that big full field of 11 that you heard. In fact, if you were listening to the replay this morning, I actually, when I got in the car and drove over here, I heard part of it. Danny Mullins aboard for Carrie Breon. So that started it off. Then came the Green Pastures, the first stake, and this is the race that Jack Fisher and River D ended up winning, and Freddie Flincher Upland Flats, our friend Patrick Lewis, who we talked to on Thursday, and felt like Freddie Fletcher was getting Cool Jets measure, and they came to the last fence and that heartbreak hill. That's why they call it. And you could tell as he was approaching that he was getting tired. And sure enough, he seemed no worse for wear. Got up and so did Danny Mullins. And actually, it was. And I'm sorry, it wasn't. No, it was. It was the horse of Leslie Young's that was dueling. The horse of Leslie's the horse of Leslie Young's, the Hero Next Door. The Hero Next Door with David England, and they both got up all right. But you could tell approaching the final jump that he was getting tired. Tom Garner did a nice job of avoiding the Hero Next Door. Freddie Flintshire, who, if there had been betting, might have been favored in here, he ended up second. And then came the feature, and the snap decision, Sean McDermott taking the call because of the injury to Graham Waters. And, you know, not that snap decisions, you know, a tough ride at all. And McDermott has ridden him previously. But, I mean, Graham Waters has had the protracted success with snap decision. And he took control fairly early after the start when it became clear nobody really wanted to go. And he set, you know, all the pace. But when Scaramanga and Paul Townend came calling, they really didn't have much of an answer for him. Scaramanga very confidently handled by Townend, and goes on to win by 3 lengths plus. That's the picture I put up. I think I put it on Facebook. So Willie Mullins, a legend, and the owner was very gracious. He wasn't sure about what they're going to do with this horse. I mean, hadn't won in quite a while. His 30th career start, and by far his biggest win. But you would think that this will be a horse that we will see later in the year. Pointing, obviously you win the Iroquois and you potentially win at Far Hills, the Grand National, and you'll have another invader as a champion. So, Scaramanga, nice win. Burkassa for Kath Nielsen. And this is a horse that had been away for close to 2 years. And I saw that Kath Nielsen also won at Willowdale, too. But Burkassa, an 8-year-old mare that she owns and her daughter was handling. And was good in this spot, winning the Margaret Henley nice performance. Could you imagine? I mean, they're 2 years off. Gerard Galligan aboard in here. And you know, the races, sometimes you get blowouts, but a lot of these races, they came up the hill and there were horses sparring. And Met in Miami, Kate and Bernie Dalton was a very good second in here. And then finally, in the Timber race, in the allowance, we actually spent some time with Mark George and his family, the Leaper's Fork outfit that Leslie Young trains for, but it was Neil Morris and Mr. Naylor with Family Tree was in control and won off by 7 lengths. Leaper's Fork and Leslie were second with Court Ruler. So And Sean with River D was third with Queen's Empire. A really fun day. Lots of new faces and people we haven't met before. Made for a very fun day. In fact, here I've even got the Willowdale results. Leslie Young got shut out at Nashville, but won the Liam McGee Stake with Booby Trap for Tom Rice and Ashwell Stable, which is the Ashwell actually second too with Top Brass, and Thomond Park for Richard Hendricks and Del Rio Racing. They won the Maiden Breaker. Rose Tree Cup went to Duraw for Leslie Young again and Ashwell. And I mentioned the Nielsen win. She won the Allowance Nightcap with Awesome Adrian for Nancy Reed. Joe Davies won for Urban Crawford's To Be or Not to Be. That was Maiden Breaker. And in the feature, the Buttonwood Sycamore Farm, Willowdale Steeplechase, Renegade River for Willie Dowling and Kiplin Hall. Bellamy Road, 10-year-old gelding. All right, so that was it was a big steeplechase weekend, obviously. All right, back to the main track, the flats. All right, so George is going to let me know when he's clear. The Monmouth action got going, and we saw that How Great Is Nate won the Long Branch, the season-opening stake for Imaginary Stables and Elizabeth Doblis. This, of course, the horse that was foisted out from under Andy Simoff and wins by a head over Awfully Cool. Jacinto Solis sends out that one. And they were clear. Slip Mahoney trailed early and just really mounted the mild, not kind of a mild rally at even money. And 90% Maddie, the Butchie Reed, neither of Butch's horses really offered much of a challenge in here. This was the race that Coffee with Chris had been intended for Saltzman. And instead, they're coming here. And they'll be part of the Preakness when they open the box this afternoon. Most recently, fifth, beaten two and change by Perform. So two of the Tessio exiters are going to contest the Preakness. Now, Daniel Centeno was scheduled to ride, so we'll see what Saltzman. Jamie Rodriguez has ridden him most often, so it'll be interesting to see who they name. Has had success, too, Rodriguez has, with Saltzman. And there is a fun, I hadn't thought of this, but now I realize it. I'd forgotten completely that Tom Rooney, the NTRA head, of course, Tom Rooney bred this horse. And we talked about, I think at, when we were at, most recently at Arizona. So I'm sure that, and, you know, he's a Maryland bred. So I'm sure that Tom Rooney is absolutely tickled that Coffee with Chris is going to be involved. I had completely forgotten that. Pretty wild. So that's funny. We'll have to, I actually texted at the text exchange while I was on the road yesterday with Tom Rooney. At Santa Anita, the San Luis Rey on Saturday, Michael W. McCarthy went off as the near favorite, just a tick above 3-2 over Dicey Moshara, but awfully naughty with Umberto Rispoli for Red Baron's Barn, Rancho Temescal, and, excuse me, I take that back, for the Danielles, for Jim and Donna Danielle, Rancho, Red Baron and Rancho is Dicimo Share, right? Yeah. Awfully Naughty. Nice win. Paid $520, and yeah, seems like a horse that's going to be, you know, part of the, you know, the distance turf scene this year. A fully mature 5-year-old horse, not a gelding. It was a flashback that was bred by the Wests. So a horse that Sid's probably involved with this mating, and this horse was given away at OBS, unbelievable, and now you know, patiently handled, and McCarthy so good, you know, now is running, has just worked his way up on Figs, unbelievable, now a multiple graded stake winner, amazing, good job by Michael. Prairie Meadows Saturday, right? The opening of their meet. Had the nice visit with Stu Slagle. Oh, somebody who wanted Stu's number. Somebody asked me for Stu's number while we were at Nashville. I'm gonna have to think about that. And you know, the horse, I guess it was simply a bad morning line. That 20-1 on Broken Hearts Bay. We certainly got a good try at out of the filly. She ran well under Alex Berzer. Got beat 2 and change by the slight second choice. Two horses went off at 5-2. Lady Radler, your winner, Cantheros, bred by Stone Street, and Alex Quinones, Big Q, aboard. This is for Michael Campbell. Always happy to see Michael do well. And this is a filly that actually, this filly was within hailing distance of Darth Vader in the Sandpiper, going back to the end of last year. And interesting, you know, Campbell actually put her in against Elders, and in a handicap as a kind of a tightener ahead of this stake. So a new stake winner for Cantheros, and we had to settle for second with our 20-1 value shot, Broken Hearts Bay. Did okay. Tell you who was good over the weekend, Bill Mott with the pair of stake wins, if you didn't notice, in New York. Yeah, Caramel Swirl yesterday in the Vagrancy, and Candyman Rocket on Saturday in the Run Happy. And I mean, you can't go a weekend without Godolphin winning a stake. It's unbelievable. Although, all right, George is now free. All right. let's get George in. I'll come back. Well, you know what? We'll do Belmont afterward. And in fact, when Mig joins us, all right, that'll be perfect. Let me get George in here, and he's free for a half an hour, he says. All right. One of our favorite people, and certainly Seth Merrow and I, when it comes to Saratoga, we can't have Loose on the Lead a season without George Weaver. He joins us now. George, congratulations on Pass the Champagne last week. And then, how about you, the new Wesley Ward?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. It's been a nice week for the barn. And, you know, Pass the Champagne's always been very talented. And, you know, she had one of those with her name on it, and hopefully she's got more. We're pretty excited about her, as we always have been, but now she actually got the job done, and is getting her, you know, she just finally got on track. You know, she finally got to put a string of races together, and that's what's helped. And, you know, we're delighted with the two 2-year-olds as well. they, you know, they ran great races at Gulfstream, and we're excited and hopeful to get to Ascot with them.
Well, and we'll talk about that, and we'll we want to see how, you know, how ready you are, you know, with the wardrobe. We'll get to it. For Pass the Champagne, give us a little bit of you know, the itinerary and you know, what you do from here.
I'm kind of the mind that she's better around one turn, so at Belmont, that gives you a lot of options, including the Ogden Phipps, which is at a mile and a 16th, I believe, on Belmont Day or the day before. So, anyway, we'll try the Ogden Phipps next. You know, it's a prestigious race. It would give her an opportunity to be a Grade 1 winner. And, you know, going into the future, if I had to pick a Breeders' Cup race that we'd like to participate in, if she, you know, she ends up telling us she wants to go there, probably the sprint going 7/8 would be a better suit for her. But she's run, you know, she's run a couple of good two-turn races too, so a lot of it's to be determined and see how she does. But we'd like to take a shot at the Ogden Phipps next and go from there.
I mean, in terms of timing between races and as she's been maturing, what any changes to her as a racehorse?
I guess what I said originally, which is she's just been able to stay on track. You know,
nice.
She came out of the Oaks with not immediately out of the Oaks, but I don't know, about 3 or 4 weeks after the Oaks, she just started moving poorly. We weren't happy with her. She needed time off. We gave her time off. She came back and had another couple of issues and was able to win at Gulfstream off the bench, but then she needed more time off. So, you know, it was a long time there where, you know, basically she only had one race for more than a year. But the fact that she's been able to put some races together, and we've kind of, I think she's a one-run filly. She has a great acceleration, but it's a time to move. You know, when she won the allowance race at Gulfstream with Louis, she was kind of pressing, and she got a little leg worry late. And you could see that, you know what I mean? In the Ashland, she kind of made that big acceleration, and then, you know, I think it's we've kind of learned that we want to time that, you know, because it's a great weapon to have, but if you don't use it at the right time, you run the risk of getting beat. And that's the way the Barbara Fritchie went too. You know, the Angel Cruz did a great job getting her in a good spot down the backside, but then he tried to move into the race around the turn and take control at the quarter pole, and then she hung a little bit. So, you know, I kind of think she's got a great acceleration that needs to be timed. And so that's kind of our goal, is to continue to use that strategy to win races.
Well, she, you know, she really, I mean, the Oaks, you can put a line through the Oaks, but otherwise, I mean, she really has never run a bad race.
No, she's a very talented mare, and she's a trier. She's always going to get what she has. She, you know, she's just a good horse, to be honest with you.
Well, comes from the Preston Madden family, and we've talked about her a few times. And this is a nice, you know, certainly a nice addition to the resume. And in terms of ownership, Randy and Randy Hill, of course, and Black Type Thoroughbreds, Rock Ridge is involved racing, Black Ridge Stables, and Jim Brown.
Yeah, I'm happy for all of them. They've been patient, and they've been forced to be patient. You know, as time goes on, you're like, man, is it ever going to happen? And we just, you know, we just kept doing what was right each day by her, and it led to that win. And hopefully it's leading to more this year. But, you know, they've been patient, and they got rewarded for it.
Well, they people didn't have to be as patient when it came to this juvenile opportunity. And you know, what was the initial thought when, you know, when these races were announced as these, you know, as these intro opportunities to, you know, to win, to go to Royal Ascot? You know, what had you been doing with these horses in terms of preparation, you know, before this became you know, a place to aim for.
Well, the whole thing originally came from Kieran Dunn. You know, Kieran Dunn is associated with the Beavers, and he's also associated with Alex Bregman, breaks horses for him, and had a few in the sale. So, you know, we've run a few horses actually for Deuce Weepers. I think I've run four of them so far, and they've all run respectably. And so that's where it all originated. You know, he got a great foundation in them. They'd already been to the gate a couple times, which made my job easier. But they're nice horses. The Crimson Advocate and No Name Mets are both, you know, smart, precocious horses that they know their job and they know what's coming, and that's a lot of the battle right there. That you got to have the right type of horse.
Crimson Advocate, we'll start there because this is a Nyquist filly that had already started and ran at Keeneland. Kind of got involved a little bit late. You added Blinkers, George, and then essentially, you know, broke sharp and kept going.
Yeah, she had showed a really good amount of speed before we ran her at Keeneland. It was a little surprising to me that she was not on the lead or closer to it. I mean, she broke well and did, you know, she was close to the pace, but I thought she would be on the pace. And around the turn, she just, you know, she started losing momentum and got kind of green. Louis Sides was on her, and, you know, when they straightened up, he kept getting after her, and then she, you know, she re-engaged and made a nice little run up the stretch while being behind horses and stuff. So she was quick. She's always been very quick, and it surprised me. Like I said, she went on a lead, but, you know, we put a little set of blinkers on her, and it looks like she liked the grass as well, but she showed the speed I expected, you know, at Gulfstream on Saturday.
This is, again, Randy Hill and Black Type Thoroughbreds. Chris Mara involved in here, and Swinbank. And who am I missing?
Patino's in there with RAP Racing Stable and Blackridge Stable. That's Bill and Will Doherty from Kentucky. They're in on Pass the Champagne as well.
Nice.
And great guys. So it's really a great group of owners. They're all, you know, all top notch. Just happy to be successful for her, and I'm glad they could get in on this one. She looks nice.
Five furlong. This was the juvenile filly race that went as the ninth, and about an hour and a half earlier, the first time starter. Again, a wire job. This one under Luca Panici, and the Coolmore bred, No Nay Never, out of the Warfront mare Etoile and Bregman Family Racing. The owners here, tell us about the preparations and, you know, you. If people said one trainer is going to sweep these two races, it sure feels like Wesley would have been the name. So you upset the apple cart here, George.
Yes. Well, like I said, I got lucky. I had two precocious horses, and, you know, I don't think it's that. You just have to have the right horse. It's not that difficult to have horses ready to run early. A lot of people don't really, you know, push them to get there. But if you have the right type of horse, it's not a bad thing. There's some, you know, competition's a little bit easier early on because nobody's really got their horses cranked up. But, you know, every horse is different. But if you have a precocious one, it's not that difficult. This horse, No Name Mets, he RNA'd up there at April OBS. I mean, Kieran called me after he went to the ring and RNA'd and asked if he thought I could get him ready for the stake race down here. And, you know, I said yes, of course. What am I going to say? No. So, you know, he worked a quarter and 20 and change, and it galloped out. I think Kieran told me he galloped out at 46. So it wasn't a matter of physical fitness. It was just a matter of getting him educated enough at the gate so he knew what to do with that. And the horse was a quick study. He's very smart. he's got some class. He didn't get rattled. That's the problem with doing the gate work. Sometimes if you try to do it too quickly, the horses get rattled and get nervous and they go the wrong way on you. But that wasn't the case with his colt. He was very smart about it the whole time. And to be honest with you, it was I didn't know it was going to be an easy task, but it was pretty easy. The horse is a nice horse and didn't give us any trouble at all.
Well, this is an exciting scenario to take a pair like this over to Royal Ascot, and just looking at that Etoile, the Warfront mare, that was a Coolmore filly herself that won at Nace, first asking in a Group Three, and she participated in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf at Santa Anita. She was in Sharings, who herself went, of course, to Royal Ascot, but she was in Sharings Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, that Etoile. So this is interesting. It's kind of a stamina on the bottom end and precocious speed on the top end with No Nay Never, and feels like you're bringing a couple of live wires, George, potentially abroad.
Well, we took a horse called named Cyclogenesis over, right, a 3-year-old back in 2015, and it just wasn't the right horse at the right time. The horse was kind of a lazy horse, and I needed more work to get more work into him. You know, we didn't have company over there, and anyway, we learned a little bit. I'm not sure. I probably at the end of the day, he just wasn't good enough in that spot, but we learned a few things, and I really enjoyed the trip. My wife Cindy and my son Ben came with us, and we had a great time. And I was so amazed by the Ascot and the races, and just the atmosphere is amazing. Everything's about the horses, top notch racing. But I said to myself when we left there, I was like, man, I'd love to come back here with something that has a chance to win. And I believe both of these do have a good chance to win.
Well, the one thing we know from Randy Hill's experience as well, going over there, he loved it. I'm sure everybody will be excited. And you mentioned Cyclogenesis. Matt Shearer has been a little quiet. We've not seen much of Matt in the entry box.
Yeah, I'm sure he still has horses going. I haven't had horses for him for a while, but Chucky Lawrence has a few. I think Carlos Martin has a few, probably. It's been a while since I talked to him. Matt's a great guy, a lot of fun. And, it seemed like for a while there, it's like every time you looked up, the folks were in a winner's circle.
Yeah.
Like, geez.
Yeah.
He was a pretty lucky guy while he was doing it. I hope his luck keeps up. I don't know exactly what he has right now, but fun, real fun guy. Loves the game. And, I had a great time training for him.
Well, you speaking of races or experiences that you've already gone down that path, the entries came out for Friday down here at Pimlico, and I saw right away, I said, George trying to win himself another Black-Eyed Susan, because Point of Honor did this a few years ago.
Yeah, we wanted to try to, we were thinking about the Kentucky Oaks. This Sacred Wish ran a great second in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. First time around two turns, we thought it was a good enough race to go to the Kentucky Oaks, but we just didn't have enough points. It wasn't even close. So we didn't try to ship in there to church or anything and hope. We said we'll just zero in on the Black Eyed Susan and see what she does in her second start around two turns. So Philly's training real well. I think she's put on some weight, got stronger since that race. She's had a chance to get some nice works in her. So I know that one Philly's in there, Faiza, who's obviously has a pretty nice record and is a nice filly. So, but we like our Philly. I think she's going to run well.
Well, this is a Not This Time that was bred by John Penn, just a $50,000. Timonium purchase last year, and of course Timonium will be selling next week, and the Breeze Show this week. on the dirt track, and I'm sure you'd love to find another one like this.
Yeah, she's a pretty nice horse for $50,000.
For sure.
You know, but that happens all. That happens all the time. There's plenty of horses that you know, they might not have the perfect this or perfect that, but they can run. It's just a matter of trying to find them.
Well, and on
in
that
this case, we didn't find her until after she ran, but Jake Ballas pursued her, and I think he did a great job finding a nice filly.
Well, I was going to say, because Lynn Kleberad had this filly at Oaklawn, and she ran into Punchbowl and Unsung Melody in her debut, got a 77 buyer, and then took advantage of one of those restricted company maiden races. You know, the purse was a little less, but she romped. Kylie Jordan rode her both of those, and even that race has proven to be a little bit key. The horse that she beat by four came back and won. Next out, and then you guys tried her in the Gulfstream Oaks, and she ran very well. And you know, not a racetrack to George to be making up a lot of ground, and she came within a couple of lengths of Grand Motion's Affirmative Lady.
Yeah, no, we were very happy with the race. We didn't, you know, I didn't know what to expect. She shipped in. We worked her one time and ran her. You know, the idea was to try to give her a chance to make it to the Oaks, and. You know, we did, and she finished second. We didn't have enough points to get to the Oaks, but there's a lot of nice races the rest of the year, and we've got a nice filly in our hands. So
very cool.
We're looking forward to her.
Who else? I see Jake with Black Type, Swinbank. Is there anybody else involved?
There's several people. I think the original owner stayed in for 10%.
Oh, nice.
A couple of new guys. Yeah, so it's another good mix of guys. They had a lot of fun at Gulfstream when she ran last time, and you know, everybody's excited going forward.
You know, what's interesting? I don't know how much you've looked at the field, and I suppose Faiza, you know, knowing how that operation, you know, knowing their inclination, she probably is the speed. But she, you should get a ground saving trip with Johnny. I mean, Johnny certainly likes to go forward, and you know, she came out of two sprints, so she, you know, she might have some tactical speed and get some early position.
Yeah, I think that she didn't really. Yeah, she should have more speed than she showed in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. I think Javier says she kind of lost her footing a little bit and was slipping, and he kind of let her get up underneath herself, but. I mean, just based on our sprint races at Oaklawn, I would imagine we'd like to get a nice position going into the first turn. You know, not at the back of the pack. She should be closer to the pace. And you know, I'm really happy the way she's training. She's gonna run well.
Very nice. All right, I'm glad that the beauty of this all kind of coming together. Sacred Wish is who we're talking about. It's gonna run from the one in the Black Eyed Susan. On Friday, George, a couple of other quick notes, too. Going back to the horses that ran, you just missed at Belmont with Twisted Filigree.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. We entered him twice down at Gulfstream in 4.5 furlong dirt races, and I kind of thought he'd be better on the grass. He got scratched both times, you know, he kind of got the jock, dumped the jock the last time, and the time before that there was a technicality. So he had shipped a Gulfstream twice to run, and it didn't come, you know, it didn't happen. So anyway, we were able to get another work in him on the grass, and you know, at that point I saw the grass race up there, so we shipped him up for that race. But he ran lights out. He's got a lot of class. I like the horse a lot. He's a New York bred as well, so he should be double tough the next time we run him.
Nice. And yeah, on Saturday too, I had my eye on King Moon Racer and that allowance.
Yeah, he disappointed me. The race just ended up being a little fast. You know, they went 108. Like, if he can get a chance to get underneath himself and not have to chase too much, he's capable of running better than that. It ended up being a fast race all the way around, gate to wire. He's probably a little better at 7 furlongs. So we'll hope to find something at that distance next time.
And finally, how many horses do you still have in Florida?
Well, we're in the process of moving. This morning I had 23. Tomorrow I'll have 8.
Okay.
The day after that I'll have 7. And then next Sunday, the 21st, the rest of them will be out of here.
All right, there you go. Because I was going to ask about, you got one entered, three-year-old colt, Heart and Soul, a Golden Sense, making a second start.
Yeah, he just ran a Saturday. He disappointed me. The horse didn't try. And I know it's kind of short rest, but, I mean, the horse just, I don't know. When they don't try like that, I was like, man, let's switch up surfaces and go a little further and see what happens, because he trained way better than that. And Golden Sense is kind of a good synthetic sire, so I thought I'd give it a try.
Very good. All right. I was curious about that. I didn't know if it was like a dual entry or how you, or, you know, how you, what the intention was there. Okay.
I don't like running back quick.
Yeah.
You know, if they try, but if you have like that horse that we ran yesterday in the last at Belmont, Eddie Mush, I mean, he completely ran green. Like he didn't, if I could run him tomorrow, I'd run him tomorrow. You know, I mean, I'm not leading a horse over there if I'm not happy with the condition.
No.
You know what I mean? The best way is they didn't run. They didn't, you know, it's not like they ran. They didn't run. This Heart and Soul, he didn't run a jump the other day. He ran a quarter mile and then, you know, he decided not to try. So we're going to give him another shot with different circumstances. You know, I think going long in a synthetic, you know, I took the blinkers off. He'll get a chance just to get into a nice, comfortable stride. You know, maybe he didn't appreciate, the chase of a 6-furlong race at Gulfstream. So, anyway, we'll keep our fingers crossed, hope for the best.
How about one more, too? I should ask you about the horse that you ran in the Carter, and then that came back and pretty quickly, actually, that Today's Flavor.
Yeah, he's been a really nice horse. That horse is he's very talented, and he's a New York bred as well. I was thinking about running him in the Run Happy, but it did, you know, the New York bred stake was right there, and we were going to beat a favorite. I didn't want to overthink it, you know what I mean? Let's just put him in, it'll be 3 or 4 to 5, and let him go out there and have a good time. Which he did.
You've also got a horse that's going to break the maiden at some point soon. The horse you ran at Keeneland at the end of the meet, that Dark Vector.
Yeah, we went dirt to turf since he ran so bad poorly on the dirt first time out, and we worked him on the grass. He ran respectable on the grass, and came back in the synthetic and ran respectable. But I worked him out of the gate after that on the dirt. He worked well enough to earn another chance on the dirt. We just missed at Keeneland.
Yep.
In what looked like a salty maiden race. So that horse is going to make some noise the rest of the year as well.
Yeah, we'll see him at Belmont in the coming 3 weeks or so?
Yes, you will.
Outstanding. George, I appreciate this. And you mentioned Cindy. How's Cindy doing?
Yeah, she's doing well.
Good.
She's doing real well. You know, she's it's been hard work. And it's, you know, the pace of things, it's just little by little, you know, we get improvement little by little, and you just have to put the time in. But she's doing well. You know, it's been a life-changing event for us. And, but we're happy. She's doing very well. And, you know, the barn keeps ticking, and it's all because she laid the foundation there. She's, you know, she's taught me more about horses than I ever knew. And, it all is carried over. You know, we just try to do things like she would do. And, you know, maybe someday she'll get back out there. But we're doing well, and, you know, we're happy that she's with us, and we're doing all right.
Excellent. Well, and you know that everybody, I mean, industry-wide, she has nothing but friends and admirers and, you know, people that love and care for both of you. So best wishes.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
George Weaver, everybody, and things are really good in the Weaver barn. George, we will see you here Friday.
Okay, great, Steve. Thank you.
George Weaver, folks, and one of the easiest people to root for in the game. And slow, steady progress for Cindy, too. All right, got an hour in, and we're going to check on a few things, including Dave Groening and see if Dave's got any more. They're assembling entries for Preakness Day downstairs in the racing office. And got, I think, a visit with Rich Migliori pending as well, and more. All right. Let's head to the break. And I'll save the Belmont conversation for Rich and or Dave. Speaking of no nay never, right? There was the no nay never winner at Churchill on Saturday, right? At a price, no less. I didn't. the reason I'm bringing this up is because I had seen that George had a horse in there at a price that did not run well. Chiringo was eighth of eight, so I didn't bring that one up. But the no nay never for Andrew Farm and For the People Racing, Wesley Ward, James Graham at almost 11-1, 23.54. No Nay Hudson, bred in Ireland by RJB Bloodstock. I don't know how this one got away at that price. I second off the layoff, 6-1 morning line, and had run well in the Atlantic Beach at the end of the two-year-old season. I mean, this is unbelievable. I did not pay attention at that point to Churchill. I had focused the handicapping on Belmont. Got a couple of decent licks in. Couldn't do anything on the multis on Saturday. But this horse, how did this horse go off at 10.77. James Graham actually, I think, went into the day 0-17. I mean, at least when I printed the PPs, he was 0-17. He might have gotten something before Saturday, but 23.54 was some price on this horse. That Gaslight Dancer, okay, I understand going favored, but, you know, off the win in the Palisades at Keeneland. And there were a bunch of horses that came out of that race. Two of a Kind and Chiringo and No Nay Hudson. But nobody gave this horse a serious look, second off the layoff. Hey, Wesley clicks at 27% second off the layoff. Unbelievable. So, congratulations. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth choice. Sixth choice. Nice. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Grenig, we got Mig, we got more. At the races, we're at Pimlico. Hi-ho. It's always great to be here. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings.